Coming up on Inside the Cleveland Browns, offensive coordinator John DeFilippo talks quarterbacks.
Ernest Biner relives the fumble every day to inspire others.
And Joe Thomas continues to make NFL history.
Keep it right here. Inside the Cleveland Browns starts now.
Good morning, Dog Pound, and welcome to a special edition of Inside the Cleveland Browns. I'm Dustin Fox, alongside Sarah Carnes. We're in Canton, Ohio, at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, as we celebrate one of our own, making some NFL history.
Yes, stay tuned for that, as well as a way to enter to win four tickets to come visit the Hall of Fame. But first, we want to catch up with Barkevius Mingo, fresh off the plane from his trip to Turkey, where he participated in Gary Barnage's American Football Without Borders camp.
Istanbul was a great city. We had a lot of fun. We got to teach the guys out there football. And we also had a women group out there. We had about 50 ladies out there, and they enjoyed it. They were probably the most energetic group we had that day. So it was all around a great trip.
What a cool adventure. It's so great to see the guys giving back during the off season.
Yeah, and one player that's always giving back, oh, by the way, recently engaged, Paul Kruger. Well, he walks us through one of his favorite plays of the 2014 season.
Breeze underneath center at the 8-yard line. On first down, he turns, bootleg out, back into the end zone, loads it up. Here comes Kruger, and he got him right by the goal line.
What I'm looking at is the sack I had on Drew Breeze. It was a big play, first of all, for the team. Those plays are always confidence boosters for you. And as you can see, I beat Billy by a step. Every step matters, or else that would have been a half a sack instead of a full. I remember hitting him and getting up and feeling the energy from the crowd. And just that electric feeling you get is just unlike anything you can experience anywhere else. And so it gives you all that much more desire to do it again and again.
Well, Sarah, you were on the field during the Saints game. What was it like?
Oh, electric might be the perfect word for it. Perfect way to start the season.
Yeah, I agree. Well, we recently asked Cleveland Browns Daily's Matt Wilhelm to head on over to the Cleveland Auto Show to catch up with some of you guys for a new segment I know you're going to love, Fan on the Street.
Hey, it's Matt Wilhelm here at the Cleveland Auto Show. Let's go try to find some Browns fans.
Isaiah Crowell will be signing autographs here very, very shortly. What are your expectations of him in his second year in the NFL?
I'd like to see him hit 1,000 yards rushing this year.
Me too. I got season tickets, and every single year we're out there rooting for the team, and he brought a lot last year. We were yelling Crowell a whole lot.
Well, I think, again, if we get the offensive line, I think he's going to have a really good year.
Really just trying to come out and make least as mistakes as possible, you know, be able to come and, you know, show someone else, you know, how the offense is ran, and really trying to get 1,000 yards.
I like it. There you go, 1,000 yards from Crow.
The Browns have recently hired John DeFilippo as a new offensive coordinator. Could you please spell DeFilippo for me?
DeFilippo.
DeFilippo.
Capital D-E, capital F-I-L-L-P-O.
D-E-F-I-P-O-H.
Not right.
D-E-F-E-L-I-P-O?
D-P-H-I-L-L-I-P-O?
Not even close.
All right, Dustin, give it to the people.
All right, you ready? Here we go. D-E-F-I-L-I-P-P-O, DeFilippo.
All right, gold star. That was a hard one. But next up, Ishmaili Kitchen.
I'll have to do a little bit more studying for that one. But more important than spelling is math and football. And obviously, Coach John DeFilippo knows the key to adding up some points and some wins. It's going to be through the quarterback.
Snap those head and eyes around. Good plant throw right there. Well done.
Absolutely. I think the quarterback position is the one position on the field I think you had to have played to really coach it and understand it. I think, you know, if you're telling a guy, you know, to go out and do something in terms of, you know, seeing a blitz, seeing the rotation of the coverage, I think that, you know, you have to have had seen that, too, to really explain it, really understand what the pressure is coming with that position. I think the amount of responsibility that comes with that position through your teammates, their families, I think is huge. I think you have to understand that. You have their livelihoods in your hands every snap. And to be able to protect that football, you know, to deliver the football to the right spot on time and accurate, I think you really have had to have your hands underneath the center to really understand what that's like. And the other thing will be just understanding what our guys do well. I have a good feel for it. I've watched all of our games. But to see these guys do that in person you know, it's different than watching it on tape. It's because seeing their personalities and getting to know them as people, I think that's a whole different ball game than watching, you know, on tape and seeing what these, what you think these guys do well, is actually seeing it and hearing it from them, what they see, how they see themselves. So that's going to be a process. It's not something that can happen overnight, but it's going to get solved, and we're going to be onward and upward from there.
Eye sneaking number one, react to two. I like that offset throw, Matt. Well done.
What drives me is fear of failure. You know, I wake up every day knowing, thinking that somebody's outworking me, out scheming me. That drives me.
Good move your feet. There you go, up and over. There we go, good.
I have a tradition. I go out for a run before every game. So we're here. When I was in Oakland, we came here to play this year. So I went out for my morning run before the game. And, you know, I go out of the hotel, and the first thing you see is all these vans and Winnebagos of the Cleveland Browns fans that are already in the game. And I'm up pretty early running now. I mean, I'm up fairly early. It's like 6:30, 7 in the morning. So I was blown away by the passionate fan base of the Cleveland Browns, because I had only played it here twice being an opponent. So I'm really looking forward to, you know, putting a great product on the field for our fans and something that they're going to be excited about.
There are no fans like Cleveland fans. We certainly rally behind our team. Dog Pound, stick around, because when we come back, Browns alum Ernest Biner teaches a tough lesson.
My role in particular was to share basically, you know, part of my life.
Reggie Langhorne wins a prestigious award.
Anything that bears Dino Lucarelli's name makes me feel warm inside.
And Joe Thomas gets a taste of the Hall of Fame.
Still kind of hard to believe. It's a pinch me moment.
Welcome back to Inside the Cleveland Browns. Even if you weren't alive 27 years ago, if you're a true Browns fan, you've heard about the moment Ernest Biner fumbled on the goal line in the Browns versus Broncos AFC Championship game. One would think that he'd want to erase it from his memory. But after all these years, he's turned the disappointment from that game into a valuable learning tool for others.
I'm known in a lot of circles for what we call the fumble. They had a 21-3 lead on us. Okay, we done. This is John Elway. We're not supposed to be in this game. But we battle back. We going in to actually tie the game, and I fumbled the ball on the 2-yard line. A failure. It was a failure. It hurt tremendously. And a lot of people judge me based on that particular one play.
We had a great event here at the Pro Football Hall of Fame this morning with Ernest Biner, Reggie Hodges, and Bobby Martin. Three people who really, really gave us a look into what character is about, what perseverance is about, determination, and teamwork.
Two high schools represented today. My role in particular was to share basically, you know, part of my life.
Failure. You're gonna fail. You're not gonna be perfect. You're gonna succeed at some other stuff. But all the experiences are there for you to learn from.
If I would have gone back and looked at that game that off season, I think the healing process would have been a lot simpler. But to hear fans say that we wouldn't have been in that game if it wasn't for me is there is some gratification in that. The biggest thing is that I had to be man enough to take responsibility for the play, you know, for the fumble.
People gonna give you blame. People gonna call you on your mistakes, and that's okay, because you're gonna fail. But also know you get back on it. Now, if you can stay focused on what you want to achieve, what you want to be, then you can overcome. Part of growth is teaching to others. Share the experience that you had, because this life is just not just for me or just not just for you. It's for the other people that are around you that can learn as well.
Ernest, who was one of the great running backs in Cleveland Browns history, along with his teammate and friend Kevin Mack, talking about the teamwork that they put in together to make the Browns successful. Yet he came back to the one thing, unfortunately, too many people think of when they think of Ernest Biner, who had a brilliant career, is the fumble. He used that as a life lesson, not only for himself, but shared with others how a fumble, as his book says, everyone fumbles. You will fumble in life, but you have to recover from it. You have to go forward. You have to use it as a learning experience, and you can't let it tear you down.
There's many layers to both winning and losing football games, as it is in winning and losing in life.
So one experience, one fumble, one bad thing by you, or one great thing by you, doesn't make you who you are. It's all of the experiences.
He's a great inspiration and a great football player, and this year we will celebrate the 30-year anniversary of Kevin Mack and Ernest Biner, both rushing for 1,000 yards.
I know, an incredible feat. I'd love to see Isaiah Crowell and Terrence West replicate that this year. Well, another success that came from behind the scenes was the Browns equipment staff being declared the best in the NFL for their hard work. Browns equipment manager Brad Mellon and his staff got a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
We're here working the Pro Bowl. It was a little gift that the NFL gave us for being winning the equipment department of the year award. So we're kind of finishing up now. The game's over, and we're trying to pack up bags, player bags and boxes, and get them out of here.
To be in the locker room with just this skill level, just all pros. Their attitude to the game is all pro attitude. Just the way they treated people is so wonderful. It's just a different feeling.
What do you want? Do you want this left on your pad?
No, take it off.
Oh, it's a phenomenal experience. I mean, it's once in a lifetime. I mean, what we get to do on an everyday basis is kind of a once in a lifetime experience, but this kind of magnifies it. You're around the best of the best in the world at what they do, and it's just kind of an honor to be around them and kind of hang with them for the week and watch them work, and then, you know, the end result, see the game and kind of have a little part and help put that together. It's a special experience, that's for sure.
As a former player, I can tell you just how hard those guys work. It's pretty amazing. It's very special that they decided to recognize them with a trip like that.
Well, a player who is all business this offseason is offensive lineman Kareem Barton, who used his off time to intern at Under Armour.
I took it up on myself this offseason, my first offseason in the NFL, to not only expand on my business savvy, but do it at the highest level.
At first, man, when I saw my cubicle, I'm like, man, I'm closed off from everybody, you know. But there's a feeling, a community. Everybody talk to each other.
I learned that you have to be great every day, no matter how hard the journey is, or no matter how tall the climb is. We're gonna continue to strive to reach that goal. It was all in all a great experience, man. You know, I wouldn't trade it for nothing, man. Definitely was good.
He's a smart guy for taking advantage of what little time they have off in the offseason to explore some different career opportunities. And I can tell you firsthand, there's not much time off in the offseason. Dog Pound, don't go anywhere. We've got a lot more coming up when Inside the Cleveland Browns returns. When we come back, we learn what game is overtaking dodgeball in gym class. And All-Pro Joe gets a piece of history in the Hall of Fame.
Welcome back to Inside the Cleveland Browns. What's one way to get kids active? Teach them flag football. Well, last week, Browns and USA Football teamed up with physical education teachers from all over Northeast Ohio to help spread our love for the game into the classroom.
Today we're hosting an NFL flag football clinic. NFL flag is a program of Play 60. Today we've got a bunch of educators out here to learn the curriculum, hopefully take it back to their students and get them introduced to the game of football at an early age so they can learn the benefits of the game, and most importantly so they can have fun and stay active.
We want every child in America to want to move, to love to move, and have the confidence and competence to move. And so these basic skills, throwing, catching, striking when I punt and when I kick, are skills that kids are going to use throughout their lifetime to play sports, to be active outside of school. In this activity, while you're working on learning how to stay low, stay square, okay, eyes on hips, okay, you are trying to get both legs.
One thing I learned here was some games or activities that I could use as lead-up activities to the sport, that I could use for them to learn the skills and to use as warm-ups.
The Browns put an emphasis on youth football. It's extremely important to the organization. Again, the character development, the activities that the kids get to go through, and the positive lifestyle that this game teaches to them.
I am just excited to be inside the Cleveland Browns facility, actually instructing teachers that are from this Cleveland area. This is an opportunity for them to come and support you, and then for the Cleveland Browns to go back and support teachers and kids. So it's a win-win for everybody.
I really love football, but you know what I really miss?
What's that?
Dodgeball.
Dodgeball?
Yes, dodgeball. You think there's a chance we could possibly make it a national sport?
I don't know. Well, you go research that. We're going to go ahead and check out what award Browns alum Reggie Langhorne received earlier this month.
Tonight we're at the National Football Foundation Cleveland Touchdown Club Charities Scholar Athlete Banquet. And of course, the culmination of tonight's event is the Lifetime Achievement Award, the Dino Lucarelli Lifetime Achievement Award.
Anything that bears Dino Lucarelli's name makes me feel warm inside. What he instilled in us with Art Modell back in the 1985 was, as far as getting out in the community and doing work, has been a privilege to be a part of this community for the last 30 years.
Reggie was a willing volunteer in everything that I tried to accomplish. He was very instrumental in my career in helping me to meet the standards of the community.
Cleveland's been great for me. It was an honor to play ball here, but I've been involved with quite a few different organizations and try to just help out where I can. I mean, that's kind of the duty of all human beings, is to help someone else. So I'm grateful that God gave me the willingness to take part of it, and I'm very honored to carry something that has Dino Lucarelli's name on it.
With all the work that Langhorne does in the community, no one deserves that award more than he does. Folks, we'll be right back with more Inside the Cleveland Browns. Now for some Browns trivia. Who was the first Browns player inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame? Was it A, Jim Brown, B, Lou Groza, or C, Otto Graham? Find out the answer when we return. The first Browns player inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame? The answer is C, Otto Graham. Graham was selected as a part of the 1965 class, just 3 years after the Hall of Fame enshrined its first member. Go to the Browns mobile app to brush up on your Browns history.
Welcome back to Inside the Cleveland Browns. Offensive tackle Joe Thomas has played every snap in his career for a consecutive total of, check this, 7,917. Browns alum Doug Deacon played the same position and knows the key to his success.
I think the reason is he's consistent, but he's consistent at such a high level. He's smart. He's a technician. You know, he knows his craft, and you know, he studies his craft. He doesn't have a big head. I mean, here's a guy that he's going to be in the Hall of Fame someday, and you know, he could be, you know, Mr. Big, you know, if he wanted to, but he's not. He'd rather be just one of the guys. And I think that's what, you know, makes him special.
Joe's a great guy. I can't wait to see where his numbers are going to be at the end of his career.
I know. He's already been to 8 consecutive Pro Bowls. As the third player to do so in Browns history, the Pro Football Hall of Fame made sure this piece of history was promptly on display.
To have my jersey go into the Hall of Fame is a really, really special feeling. When I heard about it, I kind of got that funny feeling all over.
Joe Thomas, when he was selected to the Pro Bowl this year, set NFL record. He's the first offensive lineman in NFL history to be named to 8 straight Pro Bowls. We contacted the Cleveland Browns and asked them, you know, if we could honor Joe in some fashion, and they contacted him. It's one of the few instances where the player gets to keep all their equipment from the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, Joe's a special guy. He's been here since I've been here. You know, congrats to him. I mean, what a record he's got. And we've kind of got our little thing going that every game day I'm the one who hooks him up. So, you know, it was nice that you guys were here to film me taking the stuff off. He's got a nice little place in my heart, and congrats to him again.
We had two former Pro Bowlers themselves, Ernest Byner and Kevin Mack, help us put Joe Thomas's artifacts on display. It was a very unique opportunity from two Cleveland Browns legends to a current Pro Bowler. Putting his stuff on exhibit was quite special. The NFL changed the format to kind of a team draft and changed the uniforms a little bit. And now there's stars for each Pro Bowl. So there's 8 stars for Joe Thomas. There's not a lot of guys with 8 Pro Bowls to their name. You know, he's one of the most decorated offensive linemen out there. So we were really happy to honor him here with this exhibit.
I think any player that ever steps on a football field ends up dreaming about maybe someday having a little piece of themselves in the Hall of Fame. And to have my jersey in there, being the only offensive lineman in NFL history to make 8 straight Pro Bowls to start their career, is something that's really special, and it's still kind of hard to believe. It's a pinch me moment.
Not many people can say they have their jersey in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Pretty cool stuff.
Pretty cool. I couldn't agree more. If you want to see the jersey in person and all of the other cool memorabilia here at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, enter to win 4 tickets by going to clevelandbrowns.com/BrownsTV.
Dog Pound, thanks again for joining us for another edition of Inside the Cleveland Browns. Don't forget, we're back each and every Sunday right here at 11 o'clock on News Channel 5.
And don't move a muscle, Browns fans, because up next is Nathan Zagura and Andy Baskin with your Dog Pound Report. They're covering free agency news and much, much more. For Dustin Fox, I'm Sarah Carnes. We'll see you next week, Dog Pound.